How many of y'all been working hard in church? And look like the more you work, the lesser folk appreciate you. Well, I want you to know payday is coming after a while. I said payday is coming after a while. You just remember one thing. God has something waiting.
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 Oh, I must
press my way through.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 14, 15, and 16. Those three verses and hopefully you'll get what you need out of it. If you don't get what you want, you'll definitely get what you need. Amen. Sometimes what we need and want are two different things, and God recognizes what we need. Amen. He'll supply all our need. And sometimes we think that only means money. No, sometimes that means we need a spanking. We need chastisement. We need a convicting word. Amen. We need the truth told to us. Amen. You have Ephesians chapter 4, and you're looking at verse 14. Say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought or a title or tag on this message, growing in Christ. Amen. We must grow in Christ. The Bible declares that, says about John the Baptist that he grew and had favor with men. The Bible says about Jesus that he grew and had favor with God and with men. We have to understand that that's God's purpose for us, is to grow. The only person that was born grown, or the only two people that was born grown, was Adam and Eve. They didn't have to grow up. Amen? They were already grown. Amen. So we have to understand that God intends for that to be a part of what our Christian walk is for us to grow up. Amen? When we look at the book of Ephesians, we have to understand again that this book is not a book for a novice. It's not a book for somebody who's just playing around with this. It's not a book for people who are not serious about their Christianity. It's not for people who are not serious about knowing their place in Christ. Amen. Because in this book, it allows us to see who we are, what we are to do, how we are to relate to others. It even tells us what we are to do when it comes to our relation with spiritual warfare. Amen. It tells us how the husband how to love his wife. Amen. It tells the wife how to be toward her husband. Amen. It tells us so many things so that when we read it and we try to apply it, we can't go wrong. Amen. Although it's only about six chapters, is a well of worth in it. I'm telling you, you can dip into this and you'll pull up something great every time you read it. It tells our children to obey their parents. Amen.
Amen.
It tells us a bunch of stuff that we must understand. It tells us how we ought to get along with one another. tells us how we should that we are to come together in lowliness and meekness and in oneness and serve God, because he's God in all through all. Amen. We look at, let's just talk a little bit about chapter 4 in this introduction. Chapter 4, Paul is saying that he's a prisoner. He's talking about how we ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Living for God is always, I always say, living for God is like a job. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Amen. You know how you do your job so well that people think, oh, you don't do nothing at work. I'm a witness. You know, you do your job so well, they think you don't do nothing. Oh, I wish I had that job. That means that you've done so good that they think you got it made. They don't know what all you got to do. They don't know what it took to get where you are, but they know that they want to be like you. Well, let me tell you, it takes a whole lot to be like me. Amen. When I was younger, they would say, I want to be like Mike. They used to sing that song, but can you shoot 200 jump shots in a day? Can you run up and down stadium stairs to be like Mike? Can you? You have to grow up. Amen. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan, but would you do what Michael Jordan did? Would you give the sacrifices that he made, amen, to become like him? And so what I'm trying to say is that we see the glory, but we don't know the story. And so it takes some things. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. In other words, God arrested me by his Holy Spirit. And now I don't do what I want to do. I do what he wants to do. Amen. I go where he wants me to go. I do not do my own thing when I want to do it. But I am under the influence of the Holy Spirit to be led wherever he wants me to go, to say whatever he wants me to say. Too many times we give our own opinions and our own point of view. Remember on Thursday night, we talked about getting an understanding. He said, in all thy getting, get understanding. What does that mean? That means you need to get God's understanding. You need to get his perspective and his position that he believes, or that his word says, on every issue, and stand on that. Too many times we try to be politically correct and we try to get along with people when God said only be biblically correct. Come on and say amen. Now he says that with lowliness and meekness and long suffering that we are to forbear one another in love. In other words, I need to get along with you because I love you, not because God twists my arm to make me love you. I hate when people say I love you because I got to love you. I don't want you to love me, not because you got to. I want you to love me because you want to. Yeah. Don't twist my arm, amen. And God is not twisting my arm to tell me you better love them. No, God is saying that if you're gonna love me, you got to love people. God is saying if you're gonna ask for forgiveness, you got to learn how to forgive. You got to let go if you want me to let go. I wish I had somebody here. I think that's fair what God is saying. And so in verse number 4, he says there's one body, one spirit, and one hope of our calling. And he said one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. Guess what? He's telling us how unified we ought to be. He's telling us how we are one in Christ. And that is, since we're one in Christ, we're members of one another. We cannot keep putting each other down. You know, if your body start fighting against itself, start rejecting organs inside of it, don't you know that death is sure to happen? And so why do we think that we can operate as the body of believers and then think that we can fight against one another and death not happen? Death is only separation. Separation not happen in the body. Amen. I'm still in my introduction. I'm going to get there, so just hold on, all right? But he goes on and he talks about things like that, and he talks about the diversities of spiritual gifts that he gives to the church. He said he gives some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He says all of that for the work of the ministry. I would go into all of that, but we need to understand that those gifts were given for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. A lot of times we don't want to mature because we like being childish. We like being who we are. I like being silly, so I don't want to really grow up. You know, come on and say amen. I like being who I am. I like having this fun. But you know, you can't have fun and have finances at the same time when you're grown. Preach. Sometimes you got to give up that fun, amen, and go to work. Hallelujah. Y'all with me still, or you going somewhere? We see here where he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and more importantly, he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for building up the body. I need the body to build up. I need the body to grow. I need the body to get stronger. I need the body to show and flex some muscle. Amen. Amen. The reason why the church has allowed so much to go on in our communities is because we don't have no muscle. We haven't grown. We're just skin and bones. We haven't shown our muscle, flexed our muscle to the point that people begin to respect what the church has to say. It used to be that politicians respected the opinion of the church folks that voted. They used to show up at your church. They used to come and they let their smiling face show up and they hand their cards out wherever you was at church, any special event. Now they don't even have to come to church. Because we don't have no effectiveness. They don't even have to show up and ask for your vote because we don't have effectiveness. Amen. We don't have any influence anymore because we're too busy trying to get houses, using our faith to get cars. You don't have to have faith to get a car. Get some credit. You can get a car. Amen. And some of them say no credit, no money down. You can come get it. They keep making them, so they got to sell them. Right. Amen. 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 So he says that we have to come into unity. And then this part where it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now, that scripture is very controversial when it comes to doctrine and denomination, because some people think that some things don't matter now. And we can't say that nothing, we can't void out and scratch out anything in the Bible because we don't have the authority to. We cannot edit the Bible because we don't have authority to. And that's what happens in some theological circles. People say, oh, that's not for now, or that's not anymore, or this is not for us. And they scratch through it. But who gave you the Holy Ghost pen to where you can scratch through something and rewrite? Nobody, none of us can. So all we can do is take God at his word. Amen. Amen. We got to understand that his word is his word. And you know what? God, and I said this on Thursday, God does not give us, when he says something, he gives us commands. He doesn't give us suggestions. In the Exodus chapter 20, he never gave us the 10 suggestions. He gave us the 10 what? Command. We got to learn that God, when he says something, what he says matter. Maybe what I say don't matter, but what God says, it matters. Amen. So when we talk about growing up and spiritual maturity, we must understand that God wants us to grow, and he gives us what we need in order to grow. Now, it's just like when I was growing up sometime, and I regret it now, but sometimes I didn't want to eat what my mama cooked. Sometimes I didn't want to eat this. If it was green, I wouldn't touch it. You know, and I know that I need, nowadays I know that I should have been eating greens, but I didn't want greens. If I did eat some greens, I put about 3 pieces of cornbread on top of it just so I could get it down, because I didn't know that she knew what was best for me. But what I thought was that if I could just get me a honey bun, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. I can go play basketball all day long on that honey bun. Or maybe your problem wasn't the honey bun. Maybe yours was something else. But we didn't eat like we should, so we didn't grow like we should have. Amen? But we got to understand that what is best for us sometimes does not taste the best. Just like today, this message ain't going to taste good to you, but it's sure going to be good for you. Amen. And so we get down, let's go on down to verse 13. Says that till we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said that God has given us gifts. He's given us people. He's given us the pastor to be able to instruct you, to teach you, to give you a word, so that you can come into unity in your faith, so we can be united in what we believe, to the point that we grow up into the fullness of Christ, until we start to look like the body of Christ, until we start to walk in authority, until we start to walk in victory and show the world who we really are. You know, you need to tell people that you don't really know who I am. I'm a king's child. I belong to God Almighty. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. if nobody else loves me, I know that he loves me. Oh, yeah, if nobody else is my friend, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. No, that greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. He loves me, and I need to be confident in that and have faith in that. And what I mean by having faith in that, I'm not talking about, yeah, I believe with my head. I'm talking about with my heart. I trust you, Lord. I trust that you know what you're doing. I trust that when it seems like it's out of my control, that it's all right, that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the call according to his purpose. I need to trust God. I need to trust him when I can't trace him. God, I can't see what's going on here. I don't know how to see my way. I don't know what's happening. But what I do know is if I can just hold on to my faith and believe that you're going to work it out, that sooner or later the sun will shine again. Things will turn around for me. You'll work it out. You'll make a way for me. I'm sure that God will. Because he said it pleases him to give us the kingdom. It pleases the Father. He said that he would withhold no good thing from us. So why can't we trust him? You know what? I trusted Mama even after she whooped me. And she did it about 3 times a day for me. I don't know about anybody else. I was bad. I was the worst child my mama had. She had to whoop my behind. She had some kids you just got to whip. And I was one of them. Somebody just, you know, you just had, and it got to a point that everybody wanted to whoop on me. I know I had to be bad because they look at you and want to pop you. I look like I need to be popped. But what I'm saying is that it was good for me because I learned to respect other people. I learned how that those things that they were trying to tell me back then, I said to this day, I wish I would have listened to my brother. I wish he told me a whole bunch of stuff, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that right now. I want to do my own thing. And he knew what was best because he's been where I was at. And sometimes it's best to listen. The Bible tells us that we ought to obey our elders. And sometimes, you know, if you read the scripture, it doesn't always mean that you need to obey people that's old. Because they got people that are old that don't have no wisdom. They just old because they got old. They did nothing with their life. Amen. But it means that you need to obey those who are elders in God. Those who have experienced the things of God and they have grown to a point that they can tell you some spiritual wisdom and give you some kind of guidance. Amen. Amen. So let's go on, because that's a long introduction, isn't it? Verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more what? Children. Now, in order for us to grow in Christ, we have to beware of deception. We have to not only beware of deception, but we have to understand doctrine, a documented trend, something that people wrote down because this works. This is right. Amen. We have to understand. We have to understand doctrine, and we have to beware of deception, because he says that be no more what? Children. The word children there in the Greek is the word nepios, which means that you're a baby and you really can't speak for yourself. He says, don't be to the point and stay to the point that you can't speak for yourself. So if you facing, let me tell you something. He got some people out there of other denominations. He got some people out there from other faiths or even other religions that know more about Christianity than we know. Amen. They know more than we know, so they know how to attack you. They know how to give you something that makes you say, to their religion. Amen. So we have to understand that we cannot be children. You know, a child is innocent and don't have any say in what you do to them or any say of how you handle them. I want to have some say on how people handle me. Amen. He said, don't be deceived. He said, don't be any more what? Children. And he says, being tossed. The word tossed means that don't be to a point that you fluctuate. Oh, don't fluctuate. What does that mean? Don't have today you feel good and you want to speak to everybody. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. And then you come back later on, you cussing everybody out. That's a fluctuation. Don't fluctuate. Today, I believe God is going to heal me. God is going to deliver my child. God is going to, and then tomorrow, it ain't no hope. I don't even feel saved. Stop fluctuating. Y'all all right today? Don't fluctuate. Today I wanna be holy, but then tomorrow I wanna be a hellion. fluctuate. You don't know what you want to be. You change with the wind. The weather changes and you change. You don't want you want to be a Christian one moment, and then the next moment you don't know if you want to be a Muslim. Or a Jehovah's Witness or whatever. You don't know if you want to be a Mormon. You don't know what you want to be. But we fluctuate. What do you want to be? I want to be what God called me to be. Now, I want you to understand something. You know, people make fun of Christians, and they make fun of Christianity. The word Christian was a word that actually was a mockery. At Antioch, the Bible says at Antioch, they were first called Christians. They were called Christians not because that was a good word. They were called Christians because they were trying to mock them. Look at those Christians. And what it means is they were Christ-like. They acted like Christ. Amen? And so that's what I want to be. That's what I'm striving to be. So we can't get to the place where we are deceived so much that we begin to fluctuate. I hear what they say on TBN, and I hear what they say on the Word Network, and I hear what they say on the radio. And today I'm changed. I'm different. And, you know, if we keep changing because of the wind of doctrine, the things that we hear, if we change based off what we hear and not what we know, come on and say amen, then we are just changing for no reason. I change because of what I know. What I heard has got to be true, and I know this to be truth, and I want to apply this to my life, not because, and let me tell you something. I was listening to some people on this past week. I was listening to some different messages and different ministers, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, that ain't right. Even though, I mean, people love to hear what they have to say, but I'm like, that can't be correct because the Bible says this. That can't be correct because the Bible says that. And I said, well, they just did a plumb eisegesis of the text. They went away from what it actually means because they're trying to prove a point. But I want to exegete. I want to make sure that I explain to you who Christ is, that I explain to you what God expects, that I explain to you that that's the right thing and not just something that's out there, because we can make up a whole bunch of fluff and make it sound good and make you think that money coming to you now when you got to go get a job to get money. Oh, come on and say amen here. I can tell you a whole bunch of stuff that it's going to be all right, but let me tell you, even after it's all right, you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some trials. You're going to struggle sometime. But guess what? Even if the struggle is real, God is realer than that. Do I have any witnesses? I need to let you know what the truth is. I don't need to give you a doctrine that I can't prove, something that I don't know work. We go buy books and we spend our money. We send our money to stuff that we don't think work, that we don't know work. All I can do is tell you what I know that works. I know that prayer works. I know that if I know the word and I give God his word back and say, God, you said in your word that with the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I know that work. All I know is what God has said and what he said to be true, and since I know that, that's all I'm gonna stand on, because now I understand, I submitted to it, and I stand on it. I'm growing in Christ. See, when you're not growing, you go for anything. When you're not growing, you'll listen to any mess. When you're not growing, you'll try to hold on to stuff that don't mean anything. The Bible even tells us that the tradition of men have made the word of God of none effect. That's one thing that I used to say it all the time. There's one thing more powerful than the word of God in the earth. And what's that? The tradition of men. Because men will fight you over their tradition. Men will not go with the word. I heard a guy tell me one day, the Bible ain't got nothing to do with that. I don't want to hear no word. This is what we do. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. If the Bible ain't got nothing to do with the church, then why are we here? We have to search the scripture, know what God says about the situation, and stand on that. Don't stand on your own. Don't stand on what Reverend told you. Reverend might have an issue. Reverend might be trying to justify himself. Read, be a Berean, read for yourself. Let God reveal. Let your Holy Spirit sanction and let you know what is truth. The Spirit will let you know that ain't right. But if you keep going back like Eve, keep gazing, keep looking at the tree, you're going to want to eat. Beware of the deception. Don't be a nepios. Don't stay that way. If you got a baby and that baby stays a baby, the baby's something wrong with him. I'm trying to tell you, you need to go to the doctor. If that baby don't grow, If he's 7 pounds and he 12 months old, he's still 7 pounds. You need to check that baby out. Now, why is it that we're spiritually 7 pounds and we've been saved for 30 years? Not only, listen, let me say this because I got it wrote down. Not only does the word nepios mean to be a baby, but there's another Greek word in the progression of growth for a person. The word paideion is a word that means that he's old enough now to talk and do some things for himself. He can eat a little bit, you know, he can do some things for us. But the paideions are the ones that that throw the temper tantrums. Yeah, we don't have none in here. The paideons, you can tell who they are. Because if they have their way, they're going to wear the mess out you. You know the paideons, they're the ones that when you go to Walmart and they got a candy bar and you take it just to pay for it and they fall out, don't even know they're going to get it back. The woman got to scan it. But they fall out and act a fool and embarrass you. And you want to whip them in public, but you can't. So all you do is pinch them. That's the paideon. And we got some people spiritually that are like that. If you don't let me have my way, if I can't get what I want right now, then we got a problem. Paideons. But we got to what? Grow up. Then we got the technons. They like to carry the babies. Technons are teenagers. Oh, you bring a baby in here, the first thing they do is grab them. They want to hold the babies, but they're really not ready to have their own. The technons, oh Lord have mercy. Y'all can be quiet. The technons, this is a Greek word that you'll find it somewhere. The technons, this is the progression to grow up. The technons, they are teenagers, and so therefore, they see themselves growing up. They see their muscles developing, and they're big as you, so they think they can handle you. They always look to do stuff outside the house. They got secret stuff going on in their room. Preach. Technon. They get into everything that's out there. And they want to bring some of what's out there in your house. Technon. Why do you think we got so much stuff that goes on in the church that should not even be part of the church? And sometimes I think about it, I say, you know, we might as well just do talent shows. Because some of the stuff that we do is performances. It's not worship. Oh, have mercy. That's technon. You want to be seen. You want to show. Let me show you what I can do. Let's get away from that. Technon. Let me show you how good I am. I'm anointed. Well, you take your anointing to somebody that you can help. You don't just get anointed when you get in front of people. If you're anointed, you're anointed at work. Who you saved on the line that worked next to you? Who you helped out? Lord, help me. If you're anointed, then you take that anywhere and work it. You know what? If I'm anointed to preach, I can preach anywhere. I can preach on the street. I can preach under the tree. I can preach anywhere. I don't have to have a piece of wood and a microphone. Amen. So I'm just saying, a technon, it got to be a certain stage. A technon got to be seen. Notice how they dress. Notice what kind of noise they make, what they do. Ain't nothing serious. Then you have the weos, Jesus, full-grown man. And you know what? He could have had his own house, but he said, I came to do my Father's will. I came because I wanted to build my Father's house. I wanted to get the house of Israel together and get the people of God together. That's what a weos does. That's what a son do. That's the word son. That's what he does. He gets to a point that where he said, I came not to do my will, but I came to do the Father's will. And then the last word in that growth progression is the word pater, where we get the word paternal. That means that you become a father. You're able to produce, and you're not only able to produce, but you're able to take care of what you produce. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. So where are we? I want you to think about your life and think about you. Where are you? And be honest with yourself. Are you not able to speak for yourself? Are you a nepios? Are you a paideon? Or you throw temper tantrums? Are you a technon? You want to run away from home all the time? Because people trying to tell you what to do. This your life, huh? Where are you? Are you a weos? You say, look, I'm here for the greater good. Whatever it takes to get the rest of the house. It's the son that takes care of all the other siblings. That's the we ours. Then you have the pater. I got my house and I can take care of my own children. Oh, come on and say amen. I guess I better move on, boy. Y'all look like y'all ready to go. Verse 14, it goes on to say that by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they